Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
Take the spill, it won't hurt. Hey, you are listening to The Road Now on Radio Free Brooklyn. I go by the name Matt Tack. I am in the studio this evening with Sean and Nico from Deaf Poets. Before we get into the heart of the show, I just want to say a quick shout out, a quick bit of peace and love to DJ Nenum, who used to host Seeds of Afro, which he's decided that he is no longer going to host on Radio Free Brooklyn because he has much higher priorities, which we can all agree with his new family. So that he and his wife can raise their daughter, and he's going to grad school. But I learned so much from following DJ Nenum, and he plays some absolutely fantastic music. So you can find all of his shows on the archives in Mixcloud, and it's Seeds of Afro, and it's this really, really great, deep Afro soul. So peace and love to DJ Nenum. Sean, thanks very much for coming in.
Thanks so much for having us.
Killer show on Saturday.
Thank you so much. Yeah,
I was like, okay, like, you know, it's going to be 7:30 to 8:30. I'm like, come on, you guys are lying to me. You're going to get a 25 minute set. So, like, shout out to the people at Good Neighbors that, like, you guys got like a 45 minute full fucking set.
Yeah,
let loose.
Yeah, it was actually supposed to be an hour, but. We were like, okay, I think we have like 5 minutes left, but I think it's okay. I think we did as much as we could.
We want them to want out, more, yeah. But we want them to be like, oh, I want another song. I want another fucking song. Why did they not play another song? We got to go to another show to see them play another fucking song. That's what we want.
Exactly.
There you go.
So we opened the show this evening with Die With The Young by our guest tonight, Change and Bloom. Very, very cool.
Oh, thank you.
EP. We followed it with soon-to-be local legend Ron Gallo, his brand new album. And the song is called Always Elsewhere. That is going to be released on October 5th. He's playing headlining. Oof. Told you he's doing well.
There you go.
At Music Hall of Williamsburg on November 12th.
Sick.
Awesome. So fantastic. It's a
beautiful venue.
That they're going to do that. So here's what I got out of like watching your set. And I came up to you afterwards and like, what's your workout program? Like you guys, just the two of you just pack so much stinking energy into your show.
Thanks, man. We try to at least. Yeah. Mostly a lot of like the lot of energy is because I'm actually really out of shape, so I have to exert so much movement so I can actually play the parts at this point.
that is Nico who plays drums, and so that's why you turn it over to Sean then so much, to just sort of have those little sort of you know, guitar interludes between songs so you can catch your breath and just fall over on the drum kit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's, and it's perfect because at a Wicked Lady, there's a fence right on stage. So I had the drum seat kind of close to it. So like after every song, I would just lean back for a little bit and just...
Okay. Sean, please tell a joke while you tune. Don't let me catch my breath. But it really does, to me, at least I thought... Like it's always one thing to listen to an EP, like to listen to a music and sort of envision what you imagine a band doing when they play. But it's also one of the things that wholeheartedly always encourage people to go out and see live music because it puts a whole different perspective on the songs and on the performance. So if there were songs that, I don't know, that I was hesitating about in terms of buying in, or you're sort of wondering about, like, say, what the intentions of the band are, like, you guys are just like, nope, we're going to lay it all out there on the stage, and away we go.
Yeah.
And not leave anything at the end.
We give it all, man. Yeah. We give it all, dude.
That's rock and roll, man. I think that's just one of the things that I like doing a lot with Sean and playing with him live, because it's just, it's the honesty, honestly. It's just... Mm-hmm. We leave it out. Honest. It's like whoever, if you like it, you like it. If you don't, that's cool. But we gave you what we have. So
right. Yeah. We're not holding back. And, and as I said, whether you like it, cool. Great. Come on. We're gonna do more of this. Come out and see us again. Yeah, and if you don't, well, that's okay. And, but we're still pouring our heart and soul out. Did you guys have like any type of discussion about that when you were like decided to be a band? Like,
no, man. It actually just like happened. That was the beautiful part. This was actually the offspring of like a previous band prior, and it just ended up switching from that kind of idea to this, and it just happened like accidentally. It was like, let's just do this. And it just happened. It's like, we need a name. All right, well, we got a show. All right, cool. Oh, well, let's do a music video. It happened, and then it ended up falling, of course, a flow. And it was really genuine, you know, and it just really started because we both love music. We have the same dedication to what we want to do, and it just happened. You know?
What's the one thing maybe people don't understand about a duo?
How much work it goes into trying to fill up a sound with just two people, and the necessary limitations, but you got to somewhat think outside of the box in a way to capture that, okay, we're not just another rock two-piece band, because it's just kind of like the thing, you know? So it's being original and being able to fill up the sound primarily. So you don't feel like you're missing, oh, that's missing a bass. So that's missing a keyboard could work there. Or it's songwriting. It's, I guess, it's in a way, necessarily simplistic, but it's just an honest way of just being able to write simple songs that could just fill up a room. And that's what we work for. And I don't know if a lot of people know that. Like you got to tweak a lot and mess around with pedals and tones and... It took us a while to get like that sound. So,
But if I may, here's a very interesting thing, because you mentioned pedals and tones, and you've got a bunch of them on stage, tons.
Yeah.
But you don't fiddle with them during the middle of songs to make something artificial.
Well, it's funny.
I didn't perceive you to be doing that.
Yeah. Well, actually, a lot of them are actually on already. Like, there's actually 7 pedals that are just on most of the time. They're just on. And in a combination of them, I have 2 that I customly had done in Japan, and specifically was striving to have a sound that was a little bit unique, you know? And I think that's what Nico and I do. We're obviously, everyone's influenced by bands that we love from the past, you know, we can name them. And then we want to put our little flares and our little tastes and our little bits of what we think is special and different, and that makes us come out from everyone that sounds like rock and roll, you know?
Okay. I guess what I was getting at is that you weren't sort of doing sometimes when you see, you know, lead guitarist, because maybe when there's more members in the band, they're sort of like, you know, dancing on the pedals to change the sound. It seems like, you know, you've set yours up. You're not going to be doing all that dancing, because you're going to be dancing on the other part of the stage and going all over the place.
Exactly.
Yeah, the pedals are there to set up to get his sound out, and then the rest is just, I think we like tweak maybe just like we have like a loop pedal. That's basically a new element that we added. And then, they're basically on just to get that really low end and that tone that he has. Everyone knows calm. And everyone know, like, I see a lot of guitar players like peeking over, like what he's setting up and after the show, after like, okay, I see what you have. And after the heroes play, oh, hold on, what do you got there again? And I got a lot of some people like taking pictures. Like I caught them like, yo,
just steal our secret recipe.
That's our sauce, man.
they'll never know because like, yeah. I'm telling you, man, I have like a specific thing I do with my guitar that even goes to the amp that I use to really like push it into like a different direction, you know. But actually what I do is that I actually change the pedals a lot in the beginning of the songs. So I'll like, okay, these three are on or these five are on or whatever it may be in some of the difference. And then I'll just have that on throughout the song. And then give me the freedom to be able to just communicate with him and sing, you know, mm-hmm. and then really give obviously engagement and be able to play, you know, freely.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so the other interesting thing then from seeing you live is that you, Nico, are just using like a basic bar stripped down kit.
Yeah.
Which listening to your sound and the bigness of your sound, I would not have had that impression.
But yeah I that was actually from
and just, then there's even times when he's not even stinking playing during the song when he's just resting.
Yeah that is true. To catch my breath.
Here you go, buddy.
Yeah.
Here's your 10 seconds.
Sometimes less is more. I used to have a teacher that used to say he was a music instructor in Miami. He always used to tell us, "Kiss, keep it simple, stupid." So it was kind of like, okay, that's interesting. And also, I didn't have a car, so I had to kind of move all my gear, you know, so I had to learn how to play. Okay. I wanted to carry less stuff around. And then I also cracked one of my cymbals, so that's why I added another cymbal. So I'm like, I can't keep cracking cymbals. So I think that's just the best. I'd rather have a simplistic setup and work with that, because I think a lot of drummers hide behind a lot of cymbals and a lot of toms and a lot of other instruments. And that's just, All my idols just played a four piece. Mitch Mitchell right. played a four piece. You got Dave Grohl played a four piece.
I'm not hearing Neil Peart in there.
Oh no, I love Neil Peart. Don't get me wrong, I do respect Neil Peart, but I don't know. I'm more into the those guys from the '60s. I really like that jazz influence they had, mm-hmm. and they brought to rock and roll. And I kind of do that a lot with my playing, especially in the band. I try to keep it swinging. And I steal a lot of that from those dudes. Bonham had a simple setup. I mean, and he just made it work, you know? It was right. all about the bass drum. And that's just something that I'm starting to implement more. That's a secret. That's a, there's no bass playing.
So dun,
just,
dun, 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 dun.
We just let that
So I just play a lot of bass drum notes.
All right. So you guys strike me as people who are not only in a band, but interested in hearing new music.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So what I want to do is introduce you to a band from Dublin, Ireland, who are going to be releasing an album at the end of October.
Ooh.
And then I want to follow it with, I think, so your manifesto song, if I want to call it, Change and Bloom, which, of course, you do something incredibly interesting right smack dab in the middle of it. But I think it also goes and explains everything that is basically about you as a band and why you are now here.
All right, cool.
Okay, so you're listening to The Roden Hour on Radio Free Brooklyn. This is Tales of Fiction by Sun Machine from Dublin, Ireland. We'll follow it with something else from Deaf Poets. We'll be back in a bit.
Come
And we're done. Just
bada bing, bada boom.
Bada bing, bada boom. Change and Bloom by our guest this evening, Deaf Poets. So here we go. First strong, strong recommendation for people. I already said the show was great, that they the set that they performed on Saturday night at Our Wicked Lady was pretty fantastic. You guys are playing on October 27th.
October.
Yep. A fucking kick-ass.
It's going to be a sick show, yeah.
Sick.
We're so excited.
Is an understatement.
Yeah, it's going
to
be awesome.
And I love Alphaville as a venue because it's got a much higher stage than a lot of other places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't know, it's not claustrophobic. It's kind of like it's got that nice size when the band gets cooking. And this whole lineup is that way.
Yeah.
It's just got such great energy in that room.
Yeah, it's an awesome lineup. Dude.
So it's going to be Deaf Poets, Fruit and Flowers, who I've yet to see, but I absolutely love.
So good.
And Shark Muffin, who are fucking amazing.
Fucking great, yeah. And they were a super last addition, them. Like a little boom, literally last minute, and they're being amazing. And I was like, oh my God. By the way, this band's great. Oh my God.
That happened. Because they were just touring over in England.
Yes.
And then Black Beach, who I do not know, but I always like to look at things and go like, okay, we've got good bands on the bill. We got a good band on the bill. So the band I don't know is probably going to be good as well.
And they're from Boston, which is sick. You know, we're trying to get more. Everything around us is so close. There's so many awesome scenes around us. We got to get it down here, you know?
Right. So the other recommendation I'm going to give you is for this Thursday night at Arlene's Grocery to go out and see Love Honey, are in the process of releasing a new EP. And if you can get tickets in advance for $8, they're playing with Bad Citizen. Love Honey have played a couple Radio Free Brooklyn centric shows. We're also putting this one on, and it's going to be they're fun to see live. So before that, we heard Sun Machine, who are from Dublin, Ireland. Their album Contradictions and Tales of Fiction is going to be out October 26th. So here's the thing. Change of Bloom is not a breakup song between somebody and a partner.
That's like
No. it could very well serve as one. And that's that's one of the things that I really like about the song. I know you're talking about it from the perspective of saying, okay, if we're going to bloom as artists, as a band, then we need to have a change. And so we're going to go from Miami Beach to Brooklyn. But like I say, you can take it on a personal perspective and sort of say, oh, I'm feeling restricted in this relationship. And if I need to develop as a person,
yes,
then you're not helping me with that. Maybe we're getting along pretty well. Maybe we're doing our thing, but
yeah, didn't work out.
We could be content in terms of doing what we're continuing to do, but we think there's more.
Yeah, that's kind of the inspiration behind it. To be honest, he wrote the
lyrics. By the way,
it was kind of just. I like that it's open for interpretation. However, you want to when you hear it and you want to associate it to whatever you're going through. That's cool. I like music to be that way. But it was a time where it was the time to decide to move up and just really honestly, not only from a musician standpoint. And coming to a city with a bigger scene, but also for personal reasons and just wanting to be just something completely different. As much as, you know, I grew up in Miami and it's my home, you know.
Always will be your home.
Always will be my home. I was actually there last week and I missed it, you know. It was cool. It was nice weather, like always. But, you know, after a while, you need a little bit of a different speed, a different, you know, city, a vibe, especially playing this, like, three venues left in Miami where like shows are really happening. And I've played in the music scene in Miami since I was 15 years old. So after a while, you just kind of see the growth of the same bands and the same people. It's a friend of family, but if you honestly want to take it seriously and grow and essentially make it a career, you have to at least be realistic that even driving off Miami to the nearest city or going to Atlanta, for example, on tour is like 8 hours, you know? That alone is an incentive to be like, I want to be somewhere closer where I can tour and hit bigger markets in different cities and stuff like that. So, yeah, the decision came, it made a lot of sense. And luckily, when I went up to Sean, I said, dude, do you want to... Well, actually, that phrase, I'm like, yo, I'm going to New York.
and then
so he's just like, okay, I guess we're going to New York.
Yeah, that's
And I was like, all right, cool, man. See, again, I'm going to, like, you can do whatever... It's okay, man. But I think that if I that way I get them to push to do it, because if not,
That was the only reason I was in Miami was for him. You know, I was waiting for the moment that he was like, yeah, man, so, you know, I got to make the move. And I'm like, all right, man, that's cool. And he said it like very cute because he was like, yo, man, you know, like it's a person's decision. I don't want you to feel like you're pressured in this. And just like, you know, just got him like, that dude, come on, man. Obviously, I'm going to fucking go. Come on, it's New York. New York's great, you know?
Yeah.
Love Miami. But, you know, I think it's healthy for change. And when we wanted the challenge and we really wanted to feel like we can continue to progress.
Right.
And just as he said, you know, there's so many places to play, so many incredible bands. So we're really grateful to be here.
It makes me think of these sort of like the put a spin on it of the WWJD, like WWDPD. And so what would Dead Poets do? And it seems to be like because I think one of the things that scares a lot of bands is that idea that you're going to have to work and you're going to have to make that change if you want to bloom.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's one thing to play, you know, great shows. But like the bands that you're playing with on that show on October 27th, all have a history of getting themselves out of the city and getting on the road and reaching a wider audience.
Yeah.
I mean, not only do you have to do that to get the music out there, but I think there's that challenge that you have to accept of being the people that no one knows in Boise, Idaho or whatever. Right. And you're going to be like, all right, we need to bring that energy like you guys brought on Saturday night. Because that's the only way we're going to, you know, get people on board. If you have no idea, another band from Brooklyn's coming to town, you know. And then so you have to be able to step out there and punch them in the face, right, to start the show. And then you have to keep punching them, which is what you guys did on Saturday night. Like, we're not letting up.
But we're lovable guys. We'll give you hugs after.
Yeah. Musically, we're just going to do it. And then, you know. We let the music do its thing. I think that's what we do.
But you do let up. You have that 3-second frickin' pause in the middle of the song, which, as you're saying, is maybe like a second and a half during the live show.
Yeah.
Where did that come from? Because that in itself is pretty daring.
That was straight up from honestly playing the song live. So we were writing the song, and then it was. It came to the part where we came to the chorus, and it had like a really cool syncopation, and then with the drums primarily. And I'm like, Sean, what if we just send it like this, dun 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 dun, and then like that kind of stayed. I'm like, that live is probably gonna be cool. Like we just gave them like a heavy chorus. It's just like the first, you know, the song kicks off and doesn't let go for like the first, I don't know, 30 seconds, and I know where it's like, oh, what just happened?
Yeah.
And then again, kick it again.
Yeah.
Thought it would be interesting to do it live, and it kind of stuck in the recording because we wanted to keep it like, if it happens live, let's do it in the recording. Why not?
That was the vibe. He was like, yo, dude, we want this to sound like us live. Let's try to make it sound like us live. You know, that was the idea. Yeah.
Cool. What was your first show here where you dropped that on people?
First show here? I mean, when we played it, when we toured, we did our one-way tour. When we moved Sean up, because I moved in October.
Yeah. Okay.
And then we drove down to Miami. I flew down to Miami to actually start the tour. It was literally one way from Miami to New York. So we played like 10 days. And our first show was at Pianos.
Yeah.
And
what a sick show.
Yeah, it was a sick show. And then the packed show too was very surprising because it was like our first show officially as a New York band. Yeah. And then we have a group of friends here too, and everyone pulled through, and it was like, it was awesome. It was a good welcoming and it was a good reaction. It was like, what just happened? Because it was also like a fresh song because we haven't really dropped a record or anything. Yeah. So we're just testing it out. So
this is kind of what we're playing. This is kind of what's going to come out. Here you go.
Every time it's different. Every time we drop it, we also do it. Like I remember when we did it in Montreal and then I kept it extra long that time because I was trying to relate to the crowd and speak French. So like in the middle of the song. I was just thanking them for coming out. And then at one point, one dude was like, come on, man. He's like, all right. And then we kicked it again. So it's like, it's always interesting to just be like, what just happened? Why did it just end? I think that's a little, it's fun for me.
We had a really good reaction. One time we played a show and some guy like made this like yelp after the pause. Like, oh my God, why are you doing this to me? And then like, why are you stopping? And then we start going again. He's like, yeah. It was so good. It was so good.
It's a good tease, you know? It's like, what just happened? Oh, okay.
So there we go. So something for people to look forward to on the 27th. They're going to be prepared.
Yeah.
They're going to be ready. So talked about the first show here in Brooklyn. Let's go back to your first release. Let's hear a track. And then I got some kick-ass music for you to hear from Japan.
Awesome.
That I know. And then
looking forward to it.
Yeah, so you can go play with these guys.
Please.
Rock and roll, make it happen, bro. We'd love to be there.
Okay, sure. I'll make it happen. I'll make it rain.
Make it rain.
You are listening to The Road Now on Radio Free Brooklyn. This is Deaf Poets.
Down.
Sympathy for the Devil. Yes. That is the King Brothers. They are on Hound God Records. The album is going to be Wasteland. It comes out on the 28th, which is Friday. And the whole album absolutely kicks like that. I will email Hound please. God and say, when you come through town, Deaf Poets are going to be opening. Poet, yeah. Exactly. And then before that, we heard from Lost in Magic City, which wasn't the very, very first release by the band, but still going somewhat back in the in the catalog. When you guys were playing, obviously it's, I don't know whether it's easier with the two of you, but your, what I really loved as well seeing was your inter-song sort of medleys, so that the foot didn't really come off the gas pedal.
which
is, again, like that's one of those things where I like to encourage people to go out and see live music, because it's not a recreation of the record. You know, you're here, you're playing it, you're making it a unique experience that night, and it's probably going to be when you play on the 27th, that because there's going to be a very different vibe in the room, or maybe not very different, but a different vibe in the room, and you're going to do it differently again. And so it's not just that here's the song, this is it, this is the only way. As we were talking earlier about, you know, Change and Bloom, it's great. You can interpret it in many different ways. Not only can we interpret it, but you are going to interpret it in many different ways when you put it on.
Essentially, that's something that we started doing more actually in our live sets. We are working on just kind of have it a fluidity, the whole set. And I think it's kind of cool that you have your pauses where, like, not only the audience could catch a breather from all the distortion and drum bashing, and then where I can literally physically just take a sip of water. But I actually, and it also keeps it engaging for us too, because I, Sean and I known each other since elementary school, and I think that we know everything that we're going to say and do and everything. And so it's interesting to try and throw a curveball and be like, dude, I'm going to do a beat you never heard before, see what you do with it, you know? And then we do it live. And then I think that's honest. It's just, okay, this is, we literally are giving you something that him and I have never done in between. And then it'll be unique every time in every show. So.
And it makes it new for us, you know?
Yeah, it makes it interesting for us, because then we keep it on our toes. You know, it's like once in a while, I'll be like, Sean stops the song. I look at him, okay, come on, go. And I just keep going. And then, like, you know, I try to get him to, you know, make us engage. It's not always feel like, okay, this is the set list and this is what we rehearse and this is the process, this is what we talk. I like there to be a little bit of that element, but as well as like, this is, we're going to, you know, do the best we can to do whatever we want in between and represent it.
Well, you know, what's interesting though, what we've been doing since I would say the last like year and a half is, before we were like consistently rehearsing material over and over and over to make it perfect. And then there was a moment where Nico said, like, we shouldn't do that. We should have, like, you know the songs, I know the songs. Sometimes we'll just show up and just make it happen. And it makes it, like, so the experience is still different, and it makes it new almost every time. And then we can kind of play around with how the energy is with the crowd and how we're feeling that day, and we can kind of really put into it. And there'll be shows where you'll see Nico is going to, you know, go crazy, and I'm going to be more a little bit to myself, kind of feeling a different vibe. And then the other way around, you know, it's just like...
It depends on the pregame.
Exactly. That too.
Depends what I've been drinking.
Yeah, yeah.
What I've been smoking. Yeah, really,
yeah. What's available. Yeah, what's available.
I've been drinking.
What can I get with my drink ticket? Like, okay, man, like how heavy can I go right now? Stella, PBR. Okay, we're going to make it work with PBR, man.
So if we think back to Red Wagon and then... skip forward to Change and Bloom. What was the difference then when you're going into the studio to do the recording?
Oh, wow. Hugely different.
Yeah.
You had things plotted out in terms of what you wanted to do.
Well, I mean, in the beginning, the first album, we like to kind of think of it as like a collection of songs, more like singles, and then also us really kind of like trying to find our identity as like songwriters. You know, we both were kind of thrown into this band kind of just by chance, where like I became a lead singer and a lead songwriter with Nico too. Before, he would just play the songs and I would just do my minimal part, and now it's just like, okay, this is entirely our music. We need to put this together. And then I would say 4150 didn't necessarily have a direction. We just kind of went with the flow and kind of what we were feeling. And Lost in Magic City, we really knew what we wanted to do. We had a sound and an idea and a theme. And then Change in Bloom was like, all right, now this is who we are. You know?
Yeah. So in a sense, like then Change in Bloom is almost like the history of the band and its development as well.
Yes.
Now, we're not just talking about the move, but I mean, you're sort of saying like you had this change and how you sort of got thrown into to become a duo, and now the change has been good, and we've allowed it to bloom and come to fruition, and it's just going to keep going.
Nico's a beautiful flower.
I love listening.
And when are those hats going to be available on the band's website for purchase?
Most of the songs from that record, too, we wrote when we were like 18, 19. It was such a different... I listened to that record recently, actually. And just listen back and be like, what was I feeling back then? What was going on 10 years ago? So it's honestly, the approach went on and we were like, dude, like Sean said, just getting our sound and be like, dude, well, this is what we are live. Our first record doesn't really represent who we are live. More as like, dude, we're learning how to write music than anything.
Would you ever, you know, reach back?
We have. As recently we played a really interesting show in Nashville. We had the opportunity to basically play almost every single song we wrote.
3 hours of set list. Yeah. So we did a whole catalog. So it was cool to revisit songs. And
That's unheard of these days. Where did that come about? Or how did that come about?
Go ahead. You know the story because you're the one that...
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, really?
So your sister's hookup.
Yeah. So, my sister, she's the curator of this amazing museum in Nashville. And we had the opportunity to play like one of their... I would say like they do it twice a year where they have like a kind of local mixer where they have a band perform, an artist, and then the families come out and stuff. And it was just a kind of an opportunity to really be able to do something different for us, especially as a challenge. We never did a 3-hour set. So it was really fun to kind of start off very soft, do an acoustic vibe, and then continue going down the road until we got pretty much heavy at the end. And there we went.
Yeah, revisiting like songs and just saying, all right, dude, this why don't we play this faster, differently, or break this down. It was interesting. It was a good like rehearsal. It was a good practice, I guess, to kind of revisit those songs.
Could it almost have served like some type of therapy session as well?
Yeah.
I mean, because you're saying like you wrote these, you know, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so you have to go back and be like, wow, what was I thinking at the time? Am I still feeling the same way about that?
And interpreting the songs differently. Like, I'm not feeling the song this certain vibe right now. Like, why don't we just speed it up? Because we should have done that before. You know, also gives you the chance to kind of revisit something that you're like, let's try it differently, because maybe that would have worked a little bit better or differently. So,
So let's think past October 27th, although that's going to be a killer gig.
Killer gig. Alphaville.
So I'm really probably going to need to encourage people to go get your tickets ahead of time. I mean, it's $8 ahead of time, probably $10 at the door.
Yes. 8 pre-sale, 10.
But it's going to be a fantastic gig. I'm just saying that for anybody listening based on experience for all those bands who are going to be on the bill. You need to sort of probably buy those tickets ahead of time, okay? Just take it from me. But what's going to go on afterwards? We sort of talked about you wanting to get back out on the road and sort of just, you know, take it out to the people. And
We want to primarily take this new EP out to the West Coast. Mm-hmm. I think that's, we did it about a year and a half ago. We toured on our second release and it was such a good time. There was like, it was the first time going through California, and we did Miami all the way to Seattle and back.
Wow.
Which was... an amazing drive.
Amazing drive.
It was like 10,000 miles or something we put in the car.
A few hundred miles short from 10,000 miles.
Yeah, so we want to do that again. That's something that we're working on. And we also want to get our music. We want to perform live in Mexico. That's something we're working on. We want to go. Another thing that we're in 2019, we're hoping to be able to go to South Africa to play a couple gigs.
Fantastic.
We hear the psych rock and rock and roll scene is happening right now over there. So I'll be super down because that just sounds like an amazing experience regardless. Right. So
to take the music somewhere else is just like obviously such an amazing opportunity. So that's what we're really focused on.
Yeah, and then getting our name in the scene here in New York and making new friends and just letting people know that we're here. And we're slowly writing new material as well because we don't want to stop doing it. Hopefully have something released in 2019, maybe 2020 to follow up this release.
Where should people go to like get the most current information about you guys and to stay in touch?
I mean, we have our website, deafpoets.net, and then that has links to everything. But if you literally just Google Deaf Poets, everything will just like
magically appear.
Oh my God, there she is. There he is.
Yeah, so anywhere, you know, we're on Instagram, Spotify, SoundCloud, Bank, anything that you can think of, we probably did it. And we're in it somehow.
Yeah.
Deaf Poets.
Okay. What was that old thing that we used to find music on?
It's MySpace.
Yeah.
Your top eight, bro.
MySpace page for Deaf Poets.
It probably is still. It's still probably live. But it hasn't been updated in probably like a few years. So
a little more than that. Okay. Poor Tom.
Again, for people listening, the set that the band played on Saturday night at Our Wicked Lady was fantastic. And I know they're going to bring all this that amount of energy and more, if possible, on the 27th at Alphaville. The EP, Change and Bloom, is a ton of fun. It's great to listen to from back to front, front to back. I really enjoy it. So I'm going to, like I say, encourage you to get out to go see the show, to pick up the EP. I'll look forward to that and seeing what comes afterwards. So that will be fantastic. We are going to close out with Monarchs.
Yeah.
And then we're going to squeeze in maybe just a wee bit from a band north of the border called La Chinga.
La Chinga.
Yes. You have been listening to The Road and Hour on Radio Free Brooklyn. Please stay tuned for Everybody Plays the Fool with Shane.
Thanks,
Catch you on the flip side.
Outside. I knew your feet, you wanted to be idolized. Rain frogs swim the ocean.